Hey there, welcome back. I'm Karen Hall, your host of the Hero Within podcast. I'm passionate about sharing inspiring true stories of unsung heroes who've overcome some of life's most challenging adversities. Come along with me and learn how you too can find hope and healing to return to love. 30 years after Karen Wilson made the very difficult decision to give her baby up for adoption, she started doing the work of forgiving her mother, her father, and the father of her child. She miraculously reconnected with her son and grandchildren, which made all her past misery worth it. She realized that others can only love you if they have been loved themselves. She describes tools to help with forgiving those who have hurt us. Listen as she shares the key to forgiveness and her journey to find her baby.
I had been looking for my son periodically, and I couldn't afford a detective. And in those days, that's what you had to pay for in order to find a child. And the records were sealed because it was a private adoption. So one day in 2018, in July, I got this inner nudge from my inner guide: go on the internet and look for another adoption website. And I signed up and I put in my query for the day of birth, the time of birth, the place of birth, and what he looked like. And I sent the query in. 36 responses came up from their system. 36 people were looking for their mother. And about that time and about that date and about that place, the very tippy top one on the list had the exact birthday. And I thought, oh my God, what if it's him? I'll bet it's him. And I went ahead and I answered all 36 saying, I'm looking for my son. He was born in this hospital. He was born at this time. He had red hair. If you're him, message me. I got a message the next morning. What is your maiden name? And I said, oh my God, he knows. He knows my maiden name. He knows who he is. It's him. And I gave him my maiden name. And he came back with a message. We have a match. We need to talk. 48 years. And I found him. It was by the grace of God. It was a gift, a divine gift, because finding a child that you've given up is like a needle in a haystack. I called him and we talked and I sent him pictures and he looks just like my grandfather and the kids look like my father and myself. And so I said to him, you need to get your DNA test, because I got mine on the ancestry.com. And he went immediately and got his DNA test. And 3 weeks later, it came back that he was my son. It was confirmed. So we hopped on a plane and we went to New York and we met. He brought me flowers and it was beautiful. My husband filmed it. I was just so ecstatic that he was there and I was meeting him in person. It was just amazing. And then we went to lunch and we sat and chatted. We held hands and we talked and talked and shared information. And we said, let's all go to dinner. He came back to pick us up for dinner with my two grandchildren.
Oh my goodness.
8 and 10 beautiful kids. And we chatted and we talked, all of us. And we had a great dinner and we went to breakfast and we talked more. We went home. I'm a very touchy-feely, huggy, kissy kind of person. And I had 48 years worth of pent-up emotions and I couldn't stop hugging and kissing him. And he was very uncomfortable because that's not how he was raised. And so we have a relationship. I'm happy to know him. I'm happy to be in his life. He's in mine. I know who my grandchildren are. I get to buy them presents and I can go back to New York and visit. So that's a beautiful thing. And that made it all worth it. That whole experience of misery, of giving birth alone. And never finished high school. So I had to go through that. But look what I got in the end.
Oh my goodness. That touches my heart.
Thank you. I can't talk about it without getting teary, as you can see.
I couldn't either if I were you. Oh my goodness. But now to look back and say it was all worth it. What a powerful feeling. And it's almost like losing such a precious possession, like if you've ever lost your wedding ring or something, and just searching and wishing you could have that thing that meant so much to you back.
Yes. Yes.
I can't even imagine the intensity. It would be so much more than a wedding ring or something.
Yes. Oh, yes. Because a child is connected to you in a bond that you have with that child. Your hearts are connected. Your souls are connected. There's a bond there. And when you're not together, it hurts. I cried for him through that whole 48 years. I cried for him. And I looked periodically on this website and that website when we got websites. I couldn't find him, and I cried every year on his birthday. And every once in a while, I would think of him and I would say, God, please, if it's meant to be, put him back in my path. Please, I want to know my son. I want to know if he's alive, if he's well, if he's happy. I want to know him. And then I got this amazing gift. It was a miracle. That was an amazing year.
Oh, miracle after miracle.
Yes.
So many times people pray for things and then they finally give up. Okay. They say prayers aren't being answered. God's not even there. He's not even listening. And for you to continue believing that somehow you kept asking. So you had to have the belief that somehow this was going to be answered some way.
Yeah, I never gave up.
Wow. Your story is an amazing story of forgiveness and about being able to accept the other players on this stage and be able to accept that they're doing the best they can. But before you got to that point, it seems like there was a driving force within you that kept drawing you toward light.
There was. And I really knew that I had a mission. I knew that from that vision when I was 12, that I was supposed to be helping people. And I couldn't do that the way I was. And I also didn't feel happy the way I was. And I really wanted to be happy. And I had hope that I could be happy. So I kept digging deeper and digging deeper. And finally, when I got to the place where I could forgive them, I got that beauty, that love, that joy. It's inside every soul. It's inside every person's heart that needs to come out and be recognized. And so my feeling is, I want people who read that story of hope that they can go through the process of forgiveness and it will help them to have what they want in their life, that it really is possible because it happened for me. And even though I'm 70 years old right now, I am just starting out on my newest journey. And I'm really excited because I went through that whole period of my life and I've transformed. I've pivoted to a new place, and now I have the opportunity to help other people. And I want people to know that they can have hope. And it's really not that difficult to forgive people if you can look at them and say, who are they? What do they have? What are they missing? What can I get from this experience with them? A lesson, an understanding. Because if you can get there, you can open your heart to them. I forgave my father right before he died. I had this feeling he was going to die and I was going to not have that relationship with him. And I really wanted to have a reconciliation with him. And I wanted to have him tell me he loved me. I knew he did somehow, but I also knew that he was a very mental man and he was proud. And he wasn't going to allow my pregnancy to smear his life. And so I finally reached him, and at first he rebuffed me and said, no, all you want is my money. I really didn't want his money. He never paid for anything for me. He never put me through college, nothing. He just abandoned me. And I had to do it all myself. I had to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I put myself through college and never finished because I couldn't go at night and work. It was just too much. And I talked to him and I explained to him, I don't want your money. I don't care about your money. What I want from you is acknowledgement as your daughter. I want that relationship before you die. Finally, one day I called him up and he was in the hospital dying. And he said, I love you, Karen. And that's what I needed. I needed that from him. I needed to be acknowledged that even though he couldn't give me the love I needed when I was a child, as an adult, I needed him to acknowledge that he loved me. And he did. Yeah. And he said it. And then he died. And so I got what I needed from him. I really never got that from my mother. She moved in with me because she became disabled. And I took care of her. I didn't want to. I was really angry with her. But no one else would take her in because she had alienated everybody. So I took her in and I took care of her for over 9 years. I was a caregiver. And eventually she became so much of a burden on me that I had to let go of her. She was so selfish. And I just said, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. And she had to go in a nursing home. She never told me thank you. She never showed me any kind of appreciation. Everything I did wasn't good enough for her till the very end. Right before she died, I had this internal nudge from my guide to go see her. She was in the hospital. She had pneumonia and she was on a breathing tube and she couldn't talk. But she lit up like a candle when I came in the room. And I knew that I was making her happy showing up. And I saw that in her eyes. And I thought, okay, I have to forgive her. I have to get to that point. And she died 3 days later. I got something from both of them. And I had to go through the process. And eventually I got to the place where she shows up and she touches my arm. And I know she's there. And she's telling me she loves me. And she's sorry.
Oh my goodness. She's sorry.
She's sorry. And she's touching my arm. Forgive me. I love you. That's a beautiful thing. And I've gotten to the place where I forgive you. Today's her birthday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And from my mother, I got the beautiful looks that I have now. And I'm very grateful. The longevity, she was almost 90. I have a lot of passion for helping people. And I feel really happy when I do it. So that's my calling. And I know that I'm going to be helping lots more people. I'm sure the book is going to help lots of people. And I'm really grateful that it went international bestseller in 9 countries. So that all those people, whenever anyone reads my story, I'm hoping that they can find it within themselves to forgive anyone in their life that has caused them pain and allow themselves to let go of that, because the only person they're hurting is themselves. They're carrying that weight of anger, and it's a weight, it's heavy. And if they let go of it, they feel the weight lift. I could feel the weight lifting off me when my father said, I love you. And when I got to the place where I finally was able to forgive my mother, I could feel the weight going away. And I could forgive my son's father as well, because I got a gift. I have my son and my grandchildren. How can I not forgive him? I learned to have compassion for them because they know not what they do. Jesus said that in the Bible. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's the truth.
Yeah, so a lot of people that are trying to forgive are seeking help to let go. And it's almost like, it's like twitching their ear or something. I don't know how to do that. I want to do it. I don't like feeling this in my life. But it's like a foreign language almost to let go.
I agree.
And so I wondered if you could speak about that a little bit more.
I sure will. On the end of my chapter, I have a guide. Several steps you can do to help forgive those in your life. It's a forgiveness process. And if you want to forgive someone and they're physically alive, you do the most you can to connect with them and tell them, I want to forgive you. You also ask them to forgive you. You forgive each other. So there's nothing left. And then you forgive yourself. And so that's the steps that you take. Now, if they're not alive anymore, and a lot of people won't be, then you imagine them sitting in a chair in front of you and you vent, you tell them every single thing you need to tell them. And then you tell them, I forgive you. And I ask you to forgive me. And then you forgive yourself. We need to forgive each other. And forgiveness isn't something you just do once. So if you go through that process and the person is gone and you vent at the chair and then you ask them to forgive you and you forgive them and you forgive yourself, then you check in with yourself the next day. How do you feel? Do you feel like you forgave them? If you didn't, you have to do it again. And you have to keep doing it until you finally get to the place where, oh, I feel like I let go of the anger and it's gone out of me and I really don't feel it anymore. But sometimes people need help with it. And that's where the Infinity Life comes in. And people can join the Infinity Life program if they go to my website, https://meetkarenwilson.com. And there's a link right there where they can go in and sign up. And they can do that if they really need extra help, because it might be, like mine, a core wound that they need to have help with before they can really do the forgiveness.
So many times when I've talked to people that are trying to forgive and they have a self-loathing because of these messages that they were told. And so as a child, they, of course, believed those negative things about themselves. And so when they're trying to say these positive things to themselves, a lot of times they dismiss it and they say, yeah, but not necessarily out loud, but they bat the compliment away even when they give it to themselves, and especially when someone else gives it to them.
Yes.
And so I wonder if you could speak a little bit about that aspect of self-loathing, because it seems like there's another piece of healing from that self-loathing so that you can receive even that love for yourself.
Yes, most people don't love themselves. Most people don't like themselves because of whatever happened to them during their childhood. They might have been ignored, like I was. And because of that, they took it inwardly and think it's their fault. They're not good enough. And no matter how much they hear it, it's never going to sink in. They can't accept it because it's not from inside. It has to come from within. Lie to the brain. So when you lie to the brain, you start a new habit. The brain is a computer, and the brain hears what you say, because you have all these things that you say, oh, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I can't do that, whatever. When you do that, you're telling the brain, you're reinforcing that loathing. So what you do is you change your language, and you start saying what you would like to be true about yourself. And it takes the brain 18 days to change and form a new habit. So you're telling the brain, form a new habit. Start telling me, I really am good enough. I really do have this quality. And at first, you have to lie. And because you're speaking it out loud, the brain can't tell the difference. That's a command. Speech is the first commitment. So whatever you say out loud, you're committing to, and your brain hears it as a command. So you want to tell the brain a positive. You want to say, I'm really good at this. I really am worthy of love. I really do have qualities that are worth my own self-esteem. And you have to start giving that positive affirmation of yourself every single day, and you do it for at least 18 days. And then all of a sudden, that inner language changes and it stops the negative stuff, the negative self-talk. Some people do have a deeply entrenched issue that they need help with. And if they can't do it themselves and they really can't get past that self-loathing, that's where the Infinity Life comes in. Because we, as trainers, are trained how to discern what that core wound is. Then we teach them the practice, the connecting to the light, and the help on actually releasing that core wound out of their body, their mind, their energy, their heart, see where it is lodged in the body. And it will be, because emotions do get stuck in the body.
You know, I think that one of the things that I see so prevalent, it's much more so now, is the shame. There's just seems to be an epidemic of shame. And then people are turning to other things to escape from that shame because they don't know how to deal with it. And so the addictions and so many different things, it could be food, it could be substances, it could be any number of things, but trying to escape and to find some kind of relief. And so I imagine that that's probably related to a core wound.
They sought relief in different habits, and their life crashed around their ears after a while. And when it did that, they saw that they had to do something else because that wasn't working. People have those issues of shame because of something that happened to them and they don't know how to deal with it.
if somebody is trying to do this work and forgive, say their parents died when they were young, say I was adopted and I didn't have the information about my parents. You knew about your dad and you knew that he was very cerebral and he wasn't an emotional kind of a man. But if you hadn't known that, you wouldn't have that thought to be able to forgive him. So what recommendations do you have for someone who doesn't have that information to be able to help them to have understanding, to move toward the compassion?
I think really it comes down to acceptance. Whoever they were, even if you didn't know them, they weren't perfect. And they did the best with what they had. Their best just wasn't what you needed at the time, but they did the best with what they had. So accepting that, you can say, okay, if they did the best with what they had, I forgive them because they weren't perfect. They only had certain skills. And maybe their childhood was pretty bad. And maybe if I think about what the possibilities could be for them, they just didn't have what it took to be the right parent for me. And so I can say, that's probably the case with everybody on the planet, without exception. There is no parenting manual that says how to be the great parent. People are who they are, and they make mistakes because they don't know any better.
There's some intergenerational trauma that is probably going on. I love using my imagination in those kinds of situations.
So there's something that they went through where they didn't get enough of whatever they needed. And if they're in that situation, you can bet their parents aren't giving them a whole lot of anything because they're worrying about survival. So you have to look at the opportunity to see them for who they possibly were, even if you didn't know them. What issues could they have had that would cause them not to be a good parent? And generally saying, if they did the best they had with what they had, that's all they could do, then what is the choice? Do you want to carry on with the anger and the weight and the misery? Or do you want to just say, okay, I get it and I forgive them for whatever they didn't do for me. And I'm going to let go of that because it feels so much better to have this weight off me. And my heart feels lighter and I can feel the joy of being without that weight. And I can give myself that upbringing that I didn't get. And I can be my own mother and father and say, pat on the back, kid, you did a great job. Look what you went through and you survived it and you're a thriving human being.
One of the most powerful things that you have said is how grateful you are for what did happen to you because of the way that it has shaped you. And so many times when someone has gone through things like you have, there's such a depth of character. And with your maternal energy, you didn't receive that yourself. And then you weren't able to mother a child. And so then instead of allowing that to make you bitter, even though I'm sure you grieved over that many times, you use that as a gift then to give that maternal energy to others. I think that's just such a beautiful story of transformation. And to me, it's really going back to who you were created to be. And you came to this earth with love and you're going back to that love that you came with.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. And if it gives me pleasure to give love to people, if they need motherly love, why not? I'm giving them something they desperately need. And what does that do for me? When you give, you feel so happy inside. It's actually giving me a gift by giving of the love I have for others.
Yes, that's so beautiful because it's almost ironic that here you're giving something to someone else and they're blessed and you're blessed as well because you then feel the joy. And so it's really cyclical. They're blessed, you're blessed, they're blessed, you're blessed.
It is.
It just kind of cycles upward.
Yes.
And then outward.
Ripple effect. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it feels so good to give. I want to just keep doing it. Once you do it and you feel how good it feels, you want to just keep going.
So true. So true. We can feel that just from you, from hearing your story about how much you want to give. It's interesting to me that at 12 years old, when you had that vision that didn't just fade out of your memory. That was like a guiding North Star for you to continue to figure out how you could help other people. And then to be able to see the dots connect. Oh, this is how I can help other people. This feels so good to me. And now I can give the same gift to other people.
Yeah. That's and so I kept beautiful. Asking God, show me, what am I supposed to do? Because I was working in an office as an executive assistant. And I was really unhappy. I realized I don't want to be in that environment. I would like to help people who were taught that they weren't worthy, who were shown that they had no worth to anybody, including themselves. I'd like to help them get over that, get through it, and get to the other side of it where they have this aha moment that they're really an amazing being because they're soul. And soul is beautiful and perfect as it is. And everyone is soul. So if I can help people to get to that place, I feel so good. Wow. I really helped that person. And I feel so amazing. I was able to contribute to her shifting her understanding to a new place so that she could let go of that and feel good about herself. And the forgiveness, a lot of it is forgiving yourself for expectations, judgments, erroneous thoughts, taking responsibility for other people. And you're only responsible for you. That's the only one you have any control over. But you can have control over you, and you can forgive yourself and others. Because really, when it comes down to it, if you're angry with someone, who is it hurting? Not them. It's only hurting yourself. So by forgiving, you're really being good to yourself. So acceptance is the key to forgiveness. And forgiveness is the doorway to becoming whole and knowing you are enough.
It is more about them and their inner battles that they're going through. It has more to do with them than it does to do with us. And when a person really understands that and believes that in their heart, that shift is able to be made. And the other thing that I notice about you is that your pain has been turned into purpose. And I think that's a beautiful experience. When that transformation happens and your pain turns into purpose, then it feels like your suffering was not in vain. And I hear that with you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for reflecting that back to me. This is a learning process. I'm still going through it. I don't think it ever stops. I think there's always one more step.
For our listeners who would like to get a copy of the book, where can they find the book?
Right now, it's on Amazon. People can just go to my website for the book, for the Infinity Life Training, and whatever else. They can email me. I'm happy to help everybody that needs help. I really feel good when I help others, and the more I do it, the better I feel.
I think that's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing your life with us. Thank you for sharing your heart with us and for the joy that you brought to me to hear your story and to connect with you and for the love that you have in your heart and the grace that you offer others in forgiving others. That is just so beautiful. And it's a wonderful example to give us hope that we can do that too in our own lives. And so thank you for sharing with us today.
Thank you for having me, Karen. It has been such a pleasure and a privilege to be able to share my story and to also be able to share some insights that may help others in their lives. I hope so. I really do. I want to encourage everybody that has anything to forgive to do it as soon as possible because they'll really help themselves in the doing.
Absolutely. You're a wonderful example.
I celebrated with Karen over the miracles of healing in her relationships with her father and mother and of reconnecting with her son and grandchildren. I am so touched with the ways she has transformed her pain into purpose by now helping others return to the love they were born with. Thank you so much for being here and listening to today's show. I know life is busy. I appreciate you and value the time we spend together. If you enjoyed this message, please subscribe, leave a review, and include any questions you have for our guest. I'll read your review and mention you by name in my Thursday episode. See the show notes to get the link to join our Facebook group, email list, and to listen and watch our episode on YouTube. Wishing you lots of love in your own hero's journey.